Appreciate the music. Very, very good this evening. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. Appreciate Brother Gerald. You wouldn't even know, he just had surgery recently. So he's either doing really well or he's got some really good drugs. I don't know which one it is, but I think it's drugs. No, we're thankful for all that our staff does, and very grateful. Colossians chapter number 3, again, just thankful to be able to have the opportunity to preach, and our pastor just entrusting me to be able to preach to you in his absence. It's a big responsibility, and it's one that I take very seriously. So I often try to pack way too much in, and then I double, you know, I'm questioning what I'm putting in, what I'm taking out. But I've just given it to the Lord, and this is where we're at tonight, and I think he's going to bless it. And so, if you would, stand when you find your place, Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to read verse 1 through down through verse number 17. So starting in verse number 1, Colossians chapter number 3, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Tonight, we're going to talk about the recipe for spiritual success. The recipe for spiritual success. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend some time in your word this evening. I'm grateful that your people have prioritized your house and your word. And God, I pray that you'd feed them tonight from your word. I pray, God, that we would leave here equipped to go out and to do what you want us to do this week. And God, we pray your blessings on this time. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work. And God, that you would just move me out of the way. And God, that you'd speak through the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Have you ever ate something before that someone really talked up as just the best thing ever, only to be very disappointed? I remember going on a staff planning trip, and Brother Colin talked up this Mexican restaurant. We were going through Abilene, which is like his hometown, and he's like, "We have to stop at this Mexican restaurant." So we stop at the Mexican restaurant, and it was terrible. It was terrible. Even Brother Colin was like, "I'm sorry, guys, we shouldn't have come here. It used to be better than this." But you've been disappointed like that before. And for me, it's anything with curry in it. I'm just not a fan of curry. Anybody with me out there, you don't like curry? Yes, amen. There's some good spiritual people out there. I am from a small East Texas town, and so we have burgers, barbecue, and fried catfish. I mean, that was like the staple. That's what you eat all the time. And so my first experience with curry came in college when a friend of mine took me to an Indian restaurant. And I was walking across the parking lot, and I could literally smell the curry from all the way across the parking lot. And I'm like, what is that? I did not eat a whole lot of food that night. To me, it's not how the dish is prepared. It could have been prepared perfectly fine. They can do everything just right. They can follow the recipe. But the flaw to me is in the foundational spices that they use to make this dish called curry. It's an issue with the recipe. It's the ingredients. I just can't. That's just not me. I can't do it. For you, maybe it's something else. And with Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's going to be here before you know it, right? So this is really a public service announcement. Don't bring these things, okay? I thought that I would do us a favor and name some of these notorious recipes first. And so one of them is the fruitcake. Fruitcake. Some of you may love fruitcake. But I got to tell you, every time that I go to a family gathering and there's a fruitcake there, it is usually never touched, okay? It's not touched that much. In fact, it usually just sits there kind of untouched, and people pass it up, and I pass it up for the banana pudding. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? You don't want to fill up on fruitcake when there's banana pudding. So here's a few others that I ran across that people evidently make. Peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich. Pickled flavored ice cream, fried green tomatoes. Now, I like fried green tomatoes, so that was a good one for me. Spam and eggs. Anybody out there? A spam and eggs kind of not me. My dad has a very interesting palate. He likes sardines. Anybody out there like the sardines? I just don't like eating bait, but if that's your thing, go right ahead. To me, a lot of those are not very appetizing. But there's something amazing when a recipe comes together. Think of one of your favorite dishes that you love to eat. And when we were kids, my mom would make a dish called taco ring. Taco ring. It was taco meat and cheese, which you can't go wrong with that, amen? Taco meat and cheese. And it was wrapped in a crescent roll dough, and it was baked in the oven until it was crispy and golden and paired with some queso, some salsa and jalapenos. I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that, right? It was good stuff. It was always everybody's favorite dish. Mom, when are we having taco ring? When are we having taco ring? And it was good stuff. I feel like Paul in Colossians chapter number 3, he's going to give us a recipe that's better than mom's taco ring. Sorry, mom, if you're watching live stream, no offense. It is the recipe for spiritual success. And there's three parts to it that he mentions that I believe will be good for us to keep in mind as we try to live the Christian life in a way that will please our Savior. And that should be all of our goal. Really, we want to please the Lord with our lives. He's the one that gave us life. God, what can I do to please you? What can I do to serve you? And so number one there in your notes is going to be, we got to have the right recipe. We got to have the right recipe. The right recipe starts in chapter number 3, verse 1 through 4. He really gives us these parts of the recipe. And he starts in verse number 1 by saying, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. And our next point there is going to be we have to have the right pursuits. We have to have the right pursuits in life. We have a lot of pursuits in life. I really like technology. I really like computers. Like Brother David Downey, he loves computers, and he's really smart with that kind of stuff. I like that stuff too. In fact, it's been a big part of a lot of jobs in my adult life, and since I've been here just doing a lot of computer things, and I really enjoy it. But if I'm not careful, I will spend way too much time way too much time learning computers, learning software, and going over all those things to the neglect of my spiritual walk. I'll just, you know, us men sometimes we get focused on one thing and we just sit there on that one thing. And so whatever your pursuits are, we have to be careful that those things don't overtake our life and we to the neglect of our spiritual walk. And maybe your pursuits are different. Maybe it's your occupation. Maybe it's sports, fashion, politics. Whatever the case is, I'm not saying that all those things are bad. What I'm saying is that God should be in his proper place when it comes to our pursuits. Maybe you're thinking, well, I have a family to take care of. I have bills that need to be paid. I have relationships and responsibilities to attend to. So I just don't have time to pursue God like you're talking about. I don't have as much time to do those things that I know that I'm supposed to do, but I just don't have time to do it. I'm going to give you a principle that's found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 30 through verse number 34. This is something that we have to get a hold of. It says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And this verse that's very common, we know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have to have the right pursuits. And God is saying in this, in Matthew chapter number 6, he's saying when we get our focus right, when we put God in his proper place, then those other things will fall into the right place. God is going to be the one that we're seeking after. He is going to be the one that's providing those things. And when we are seeking God first, he promises to take care of all of our needs. Why do we go through life killing ourselves, worrying about all of the needs that we have? Why do we do that to ourselves? If we will pursue God passionately, he will do things for you and inside of you that you can't even imagine possible. There's been so many times where I tried and tried and tried, and I was pushing in my life. And it's like God said, no. You need to wait. You need to pause. You need to get in my word. You need to seek me. And then it's like all these doors start opening up and things start moving forward. Have you been there before? God wants to be in his proper place in your life. He wants you to passionately pursue him first. He needs to be first in your life. Number two, you have to have the right desires. The right desires. He says right here in verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above. Affection's an interesting word that is used. It literally means think about or feel strongly for. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my wife and I, we don't always agree on the thermostat. Lately, she's been cold and I've been hot. And I'm very extreme, so if we get in the vehicle, when we get in the vehicle, I'm going to turn the fan full blast and I'm going to turn it down and I'm just going to make sure it's blowing as hard and cold as possible when I get in the vehicle. And she's like, can't we just gradually go in? I'm like, no, it's just got to be all or nothing. You know, I'm kind of that way sometimes. She has different preferences. But you know what I love about my wife? Even in the house, she's very kind to me. She'll find out what temperature I like things on. And even if it makes her a little bit colder, she will change the thermostat to what I like because she would rather me be comfortable than herself. And I didn't tell her to do that. I didn't pay her to do that or anything like that. She just does those things. But I think that's a good example of really what he's talking about here. I think that's the idea that Paul's wanting to get across. Instead of constantly concerning ourselves with our own feelings and thoughts, why not set your life thermostat to what God wants? Find out what God wants for your life. But that's going to make me uncomfortable. I'm going to have to do this and I'm going to have to do that. If I follow God the way that you're talking about, if I set my affections on things above, if I start pursuing all the things that God wants, then when am I going to have time for me and what I want to do? And we can be that way sometimes, but if we set our life thermostat on what God wants and we make pleasing the Lord our passion instead of gaining more temporal things on earth, then we are going to do what God wants us to do. We are going to please Him with our lives. As long as we have control of the thermostat in our life and we're just pointing it wherever we feel like, and we can be extreme sometimes. Sometimes we want this and sometimes we want that and sometimes we want to go over here and sometimes we want to do that. We leave ourselves in a mess sometimes in life because we start pursuing 1,000 different things and God's saying, why don't you just pursue me? Why don't you come back to me? Having the right desires. Number three, the right perspective. The right perspective. Look at verse number three. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The right perspective. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you and I could wake up each morning with this thought, it would help us tremendously. What does God want to do with me today? Let's say that together. What does God want me to do with me today? One more time. What does God want to do with me today? You know what? If we would wake up with that thought, you know what I usually wake up with? What do I want to do today? And that sets me on the wrong path so many times. And you know what I have to do is I have to get into His Word. I have to listen to what He says, and it corrects my thinking, and it gives me the right perspective on life. I have to remember that, you know what? This is not my life. This is not my life. This is His life. And there's going to be things that come up during the day. And there's going to be things that happen that are going to be displeasing to me and that are going to be uncomfortable for me. But if I have the right perspective of this is not my life, what does God want out of me today? Then I will set myself on a course that's pleasing to the Lord. Far too often we wake up thinking about what we want. But the reality is God is the source of our life. He is the sustainer of our life, and He ought to be the one directing our lives. Number four, the right motivation. The right motivation. Verse number four says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19 and 20 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our motivation ought to be focused on eternal things that cannot be taken away. That motivation, when we wake up and that motivation that, oh, well, I got to just make more money today. I'm going to hustle and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that so that I can make more, so that I can do this and so that I can do that. Our motivation needs to be focused. You know, when we get going so fast that we move past the people that God wants us to witness to, we're moving way too fast. We don't have the right perspective and we don't have the right motivation. Because sometimes we got to just slow down and we got to see those people around us. Our motivation ought to be focused on eternal things that cannot be taken away. Seeing that family member, that coworker, that friend come to know Christ as their Savior is much more important than our retirement account. Seeing your classmate saved is more important than what shoes you're wearing, teenagers. It's more important. And we're all going to stand before God someday. And if we spend the short time that God has given us motivated by the things that do not amount to a hill of beans, then we may very well be empty-handed when we come to the throne room of heaven and everybody else is casting crowns at the feet of Jesus and we're there just with nothing because we worked really hard. We pursued lots of things, but those things didn't amount to anything. So this recipe that we've got, includes the right pursuits, the right desires, the right perspective, the right motivation. So we've got it all there. Now we're going to go on to the next part, a clean vessel. I don't know about you, but I can have a really good dish, something that's really, really delicious, but if the waiter puts it on a dirty plate and brings it out to me, I'm not going to be too happy, are you? No way. I really don't want to eat if three other people have eaten off that plate and it has been washed. I'm not going to be too happy about eating off of that. So a clean vessel. Verse number 5 through 11 talks about this. And so we have to make sure that we have a clean vessel. God wants to use clean vessels. So the second part of this passage deals with putting off the sinful nature. And Paul is going, he's not going to mince words. He's not going to say, well, you know, you kind of have to gradually, you know, get rid of some things that your flesh is hooked on. And you just gradually. No, he uses this word. Look at verse number 5. The first word, mortify. He uses very serious language here. He's not mincing words. He's not trying to tell us, you know, oh, you'll be okay with some of that. But no, he's saying, listen, you need to mortify your members. And that's pretty serious. So let's see what he's talking about here. Number one, we have to be clean from the lust of the flesh. Clean from the lust of the flesh. Paul is saying that we have to die to the fleshly desires that we have. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means we have preached to others and I myself should be a castaway. He says, listen, I have to control my flesh. My flesh wants to do all kinds of things, but I have to bring my body, bring it into subjection to what God wants. It's all about what He wants. Over the last 4 months, I've been trying to change some eating habits, and I'm not going to call it dieting. It's called changing eating habits, okay? And I didn't realize how hard it was to tell my body no, but it's a good exercise to go through. It's a good exercise to do to tell your body no, and my body doesn't like it. It fights against it, waking me up in the middle of the night with some kind of craving for something. But I just making up your mind to train your body instead of your body training you, and telling your body's telling you what to do all the time, and you're just like, okay, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And you're just kind of that way sometimes. But telling your body no, it's one of those things that's difficult to do at times. It's not easy to tell yourself no. But if you don't learn this simple discipline in life, and I know in my life, it can have devastating consequences. When temptation comes along that's a bigger deal than what you eat, you need to have your mind made up like Joseph did when he said this to Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39, verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Listen to this. This was Joseph's response. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Men, temptation's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come, and it's going to knock on your door, and it's going to want an answer. And if you have not predetermined your answer according to your walk with the Lord, then it's very likely that you're going to make some big mistakes in life. We need to be walking with the Lord We need to have that clean vessel before the Lord. Make up our minds as Joseph did. Not that I just don't want to do this because of my reputation and all these different things. But no, like Joseph said, I can't do this great wickedness because I'm going to sin against God Almighty. I want my life to please Him. I tell you what, that right there, if it gets a hold of our heart, because God goes with us, He's with us everywhere we go. And if we're fighting and we're battling temptation, no matter where you are, if you have made up your mind, I want to please the Lord. And no matter what temptation comes, I'm not going to do this great wickedness and sin against God. Think about what God's done for you. Are you battling temptation? It's not just men. It's also ladies. Young people. Increasingly, your phone and social media is showing you things that you shouldn't be looking at or listening to. But sometimes we just can't resist. Just remember, God wants to use a clean vessel. So let's do the important work of denying the flesh on a daily basis. Waking up saying, God, I need your help today. Keep me from temptation. I know my body, my flesh is weak, but I know you're strong, and I'm going to lean on you today. And my answer to the flesh is no today. My answer to the flesh is no. All right, so first of all, clean from the lust of the flesh. Secondly, clean from the attitudes of the flesh. Clean from the attitudes of the flesh. Sometimes it's not as much what we do as much as what we say. Because those are the things that are deep down in our heart and they usually come out of our mouths. Verse number 8 and 9 talk about anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. And I don't think I'm the only one in here that has put my foot in my mouth before. Just the other day, someone cut me off. I was driving down, I think, Slide, coming this way. And anybody else been cut off in Lubbock? It happens quite frequently, actually. I was cut off and immediately, without even thinking or anything, I just reared back and shouted out, "You idiot." Maybe you don't think that's a big deal, and maybe you use even more flowery language to describe the Lubbock drivers. But the Holy Spirit started convicting me. He's like, why are you just letting your flesh just fly off the handle like that? Why are you being that way? And I looked up in my rearview mirror, and I saw my kids sitting in the back. And I thought, you know what? I'm an example. Wasn't a very good one then. But you know what? God, He does that. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of us. And He's trying to correct those attitudes that are inside of us. And He doesn't want anger and wrath and blasphemy and filthy communication and lying to come out of our mouths or to be in our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God's going to speak to you. He's going to show you those things. He's going to bring them to the surface, and He's going to say, hey, you need to do something with this. What is going to be your response? How's your attitude? Are you full of bitterness and anger? Is it hard for you to say something good about another person? Do you talk one way at church and another way at school or at work? It's time to say no to the flesh, bite your tongue, when it comes to the spewing, the toxic communication, just the communication of the flesh. We have to be very careful with the things that come out of our mouths. God wants to use a clean vessel. So, clean from the lust of the flesh, clean from the attitudes of the flesh. And then this last point, not just clean, but do you realize that we are completely new creatures in Christ? And not just clean, but God has made us new creatures in Christ. The wonderful truth is that God didn't just clean up our dirty lives. He made us brand new creatures in Christ. I'm thankful for that. The 1960s and the 1970s were great years for cars. Can I get an amen right there? It was the muscle car era. We like the, you know, you think of the Pontiac GTO, the Ford Mustang came out then, the Chevy Camaro, and many, many others that came out. I love these old cars, but I got to tell you, I don't like going to the junkyard to look at these cars. I like going to a car show to look at these cars. I like going there and seeing, I like to see an owner that has taken this car and just made it look just like new, like brand new. I like looking under the hood. I like seeing the chrome shining. I like to sit in the car and there's brand new leather upholstery. You can smell it. It has that new car smell. And they crank up the engine of that big block and it just growls. And, you know, it's a good, man, we need to go to a car show. Church, Bethany Baptist Church car show activity coming soon. But you know what? I like to see these cars. I like to see that care that's been involved in renewing them. You know what? If it was up to that car to restore itself, maintain itself, fix itself, it would never happen. That's why they're out at the junkyard. Just a reminder, God is the one that makes you clean. God is the one that makes you clean. And the older I get, the more I realize this truth, God is the one that makes us clean. God is the one that renews us. God is the one that does the changing work in us. You can try and try and try, but you will fail. He is the source of your new life. He is the one that will do the work. Too many times I've tried to get better on my own and failed, when all along I should have just went to the Lord and asked Him to change me. God, change me. Do a work inside of me. Show me things in Your Word. Help me in this area. Help me in this area, Father. I need You. If I would have just followed His instructions, trusted Him, watched Him do the work in me. You know what? What's amazing is when God does the work in you, He gets the glory. When we try to do it ourselves, we get the glory. This is about Him receiving glory from our lives. He wants to do the cleaning work in your life. He wants to do the renewal work in your life. He's made us new creatures in Christ, but we need to go to Him and ask Him for His help. He wants to make us new. Maybe you're on a journey right now of self-renewal. It's time to run to the Lord and ask Him to change you. Our efforts in self-renewal will be temporary at best. And so we've got through the recipe. We've got a clean dish, and now, you know, when you're at a restaurant, what is the last thing? Service with a smile. We need service with a smile, right? You want that dish coming out, and you don't want them just throwing the plate down on the table and saying, see you later. You want that care, that concern from the waiter coming out and setting the dish down and maybe wiping the edge of it. And you want that service with a smile. You want that when you're dining somewhere. When God does the work in you, you can't help but have the joy of the Lord in your life. And it will be evident in the way that you serve others. And so looking at these verses, verse number 12 through verse number 17, verse number 12 says this, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." As Christ, so the first one here is you'll serve with kindness. When you have the Lord in your life, He is giving joy, this is the way you're going to serve. You'll serve with kindness. You're going to serve with kindness. As Christ showed care and concern for the lowest of the low when He walked on earth, so we ought to have the same care and concern for others. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Our God Almighty chose to come to earth and humble himself, showed kindness to all mankind, in taking those sins and putting them on himself. And that kindness, I remember so many instances. There were people in the Bible that Jesus interacted with. They didn't deserve what Jesus gave them. They didn't deserve the life that God gave them. They didn't deserve to be healed by Jesus. They didn't deserve to have their sins forgiven. But He did those things. With a kind heart, He did those things. In humility, Christ set the example that we are to follow. There is never an excuse for us to be unkind. Maybe you are one that likes to speak your mind And you've tricked yourself into believing that your sharp words and criticisms are somehow helpful. On the contrary, we are commanded, even when we are right to speak the truth, we have to speak the truth in love, according to Ephesians 4:15. If we're going to go about and we're going to do the work of God and we're going to please God, we can't just be people that are shooting off the mouth all the time and not thinking about the way we're saying things and not thinking about how this is helpful to the cause of Christ or hurtful to the cause of Christ. We just, well, I'm going to speak my mind. No, the Bible commands us to be kind in the way that we approach people and the way that we communicate to people. There's never a good place and a right thing. There's never a good time for us to use our words to be hurtful, even if we are right. Maybe we are. But those things are not what God wants. He wants the mercy, He wants the bowels of mercy, the kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. He wants that spirit to be inside of us. And I'll put it this way. If you have a problem with the things that you say, man, I just keep constantly saying things here, and I keep constantly saying things there, Well, I'm just going to try to do better. I don't know how many times I've heard that, maybe even from my own kids sometimes. It's like, well, I'm just going to try to do better, Dad. I'm going to try to do better. Well, no, we need to take a check inside here. We need to spend time with the Lord. Have Him change us, because we can try to change some bad habits that we've gotten a hold of, but really what we need is the Lord. We need Him to change us. We need Him to clean us. So serve with kindness. You know, you go to a restaurant, you want your waiter, you want your waitress to be kind to you when they seat you and when they serve you, when they do those things. God is asking the same of us. If we are going to go out and we are going to do the business of the Father, we are going to reach souls for Christ, why would we think that we could go out with our anger and our bad attitude and try to lead somebody to Christ? That's not going to please the Lord. So serve with kindness. Number two, when Christ is inside of you and He's working in you, you'll serve with compassion. You're going to serve with compassion. Christ's example was also that, also to have compassion and forgiveness. Forgiveness, verse number 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so that's what he's talking about here. Be quick to forgive. Be slow. Don't hold grudges against people. Don't have that bitterness inside of you. In fact, what he's talking about here is our knee-jerk reaction is to hit back when we are hit. And that's completely opposite of what God teaches in His Word. Amen? That's completely opposite. But we are called to be different. And again, we have to remember what Christ has done for us. All right, number three here. You'll serve with genuine love. Verse number 14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Genuine love. This is one of Paul's, this is one that Paul says is the most important. He says, and above all these things, put on charity. This genuine love that he's talking about here is not a basic general love, but the Greek word is that agape love. It is the agape love. This is not a love that comes natural to us. This is a love that supersedes those things. This is a love from God. This is a love that moves you to action. This is a love that is self-sacrificing. This is a love that cares more about the well-being of others than they do of themselves. And there's so many times where we're so wrapped up and we're so concerned about all the things that I have to do that we forget that we are commanded to have that love that goes beyond ourselves and that we try to find somebody to be a blessing to and to be a help to. Last point here. Serve with a grateful heart. In verse number 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. And that attitude of gratitude is where we're going to finish off the meal. We've got the right recipe. We've got not only the right recipe, but we have a clean vessel, and then we have service with a smile. And I want to tell you, when all of these things come together, it's a recipe for spiritual success. And if you'll take that, and this week you'll start practicing those things that are in Colossians chapter number 3, I promise you it will do us some good. It will do those around you good. And you never know. God may use you this week to lead somebody to Him. God may use you this week to do a great eternal work. God has really given me personally some things to work on. As I went through this text and I was looking at different things and I was kind of just taking a little bit of inventory on my own self and my own life, where am I at in this area? Where am I at with my attitude? Where am I at when I talk to people and how I say things? Is your daily life turning out sour and distasteful? Are the people closest to you repelled by your behavior? Does your spirit and attitude leave people sick to their stomachs? Maybe it's time to switch recipes. Maybe it's time to replace your cookbook, you know, this cookbook that you're on all the time. Maybe it's time to replace this cookbook with this one. Maybe set that one down and spend some time, more time in this one. And I think that'll do us a lot of good. Once we get the right recipe, start using that new clean vessel. Start serving with delight and joy. I tell you what, it's going to do several things. Number one, it's going to be a sweet savor before our Lord. God is going to be pleased when we do these things. It's going to draw many to the table because they're going to want to be around you. When you have the joy of the Lord in your life, there's going to be others that are attracted. And they're going to want to know, well, why do you have, I know you're going through some difficult times, but how are you happy at times like this? How do you have joy in the midst of this trial? I know you're going through some health things, but it just seems like you keep singing songs and singing praises to the Lord. How is that possible? And you can tell them, you know what? God's changed me. It's all the Lord. And you'll be able to draw many to Christ because of that. And lastly, your life will be a lot happier as well. We all want a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We also want to have a life that's worth living. And God can do that in us and through us if we'll just follow His recipe. He's given it to us in His Word. And I got to tell you, the more that you dive into the Word of God, the more you study the Word of God, the more you're going to love the Word of God. So I want to encourage you this week. Maybe you've gotten off track a little bit. I know it's not January 1st, but get back on track. We don't have to wait till the first of the year to get back on track, reading God's Word and doing what you know you should be doing. Start right now. Get that recipe of success going, and God's going to do a work through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness.